Hello!
Welcome once more to Reckless Attack, a 5th edition Dungeons & Dragons actual play podcast. I am GM Nathan here with all of my excellent, excellent Reckless players. Hello, Reckless players. Reckless players, it almost sounds like that's the name of our, like, you know, our actual troop. Play troupe. Exactly.
Yeah.
And I don't hate it. It's not my favorite. Maybe if we had, like, 15 people that we were kind of rotating between a bunch of shows, we could maybe be like the Reckless Troop, spelled O-U-P-E whatever. That's not what we got. And we have just us 5 bozos. Speaking of bozos, the person to my right.
Hi, everyone. My name is Steve, and I'm a bozo.
Yay. That's the first step.
Yes.
Admitting it.
And I, as always, am playing Selv Asterlin, the Dragonborn Monk, who, despite us being the Reckless Attack podcast, is looking forward to doing some planning. Yeah, we'll do a little bit of planning, a little bit of sneak it in, and
maybe grab a blueprint or two.
Yeah. You know, get a good map and have a decent plan, contingency plans, because as we all know, no plan survives first contact. Speaking of first contact, to my right.
Hi, everyone. I'm David, and I'm bozo number 2. And I play Kaskrin Brightmane, a dwarven sorcerer. And Kaskrin, I don't know how excited Kaskrin is to enact this heist, because I, David, am very excited. But I think Kaskrin, he's kind of coming around to the whole sneaking into places and stealing things over influence from checkers over the past couple
months. On this, by the way, our 150th episode, everybody.
Exactly. It's taken 150 episodes for him to turn around. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you know what? Maybe there's some merit to stealing stuff. I'm on board. I can get around with this.
That's kind of how I played Baldur's Gate, where originally I'm like, well, I can't steal things.
Right,
and then by the end, it's like, oh, I'm stealing everything.
Yeah, if it's not bolted down, it's mine. And to my right.
Hi, everyone. I'm Jonathan, and I, tonight, am Chief Bozo.
And what are your qualifications?
The fact that I play checkers as a Grung Druid, and as trusty frog pals.
That's 150 episodes of resume.
Yep. And checkers is literally vibrating with how excited he is for this heist, and he will not stop the entire time. He's just shaking like, guys, we're going to go on a heist. We're going to go on a heist. Come on, let's go.
Guys, we're on a heist. Yeah, guys, we're on a heist.
Guys, we did a heist.
Is this where we find out that Checkers actually does have the ability to do that droning effect that the Grung do?
Could be, maybe.
Uh-huh. And to my right.
Hi, everyone. I'm Sophie. I was tempted to say Admiral Commander Bozo.
No.
Just give myself the highest title because I'm going last.
As established, the singular highest title that can be achieved by any mortal. Mm-hmm. Admiral Captain?
Admiral Captain.
Yeah.
Admiral Captain. I play Valeska Carter, the human asterisk cleric asterisk of the Arcana domain. And Val is just, I think, too busy planning all the books to read each day to memorize, to like, she's like, okay, yeah, I'm focusing on the heist. Of course. Oh, but I should add this book to my list.
But also. Because it's not just new books. It is, you could reread old books and have a little better recall of them for the rest of your, at least your like pacted life.
Yeah.
So a lot to think about.
So many things to plan.
Well, I guess that makes me your BM, your bozo master, and I'm very excited for everybody to get going here on this 150th episode. Do you think episode 1 would have fast-forwarded and have been like, hey, you know what we're doing? Episode 150, first of all, we're making it to 150.
Yeah.
Nice. Second, we're doing a bedroom heist. That's the big fucking plane-spanning adventure we're going on, is you're breaking into some lady's bedroom.
Yeah. Hey.
Nathan's eyebrows have not stopped wiggling since he started talking.
No.
You're like, guys, guys.
Yeah. I feel like for a heist, that's the energy you have to have.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It has to be eyebrow waggling. Because, you know, I think there's a lot of different ways a lot of different energies that you can bring to a heist. But I think we can all agree the proper one, at least for this table, for this evening. It's like Ocean's 11, right?
Yes.
Like, we're all having a good time. There's going to be some misdirection, some shenanigans. We're all going to, you know, become closer as friends, as people, both in and out of character as we go. And, you know, then one of us will be eating a large cheeseburger for the entirety of the heist.
I was just going to ask, who is the one who's always eating a snack? Is it Casgrim?
I feel like it is. I feel like, I mean...
Well, so the issue is that Casgrim is beefy, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And of course, is therefore has to consume a lot of calories to maintain your bulky physique.
Correct.
But Brad Pitt in the movie is the one who's always eating, and he is well ripped, relatively lean. So I'm gonna say maybe it's Selv. Who's just constantly having a tofu burger.
Snacking on the blobless grub we have because that's all we have the Deadlands wiped out all of our good food.
Sorry, Selv, you have
so
to do it for the bit.
So you just have to consume blobs.
It's nutritious.
Technically.
Selv is not going to enjoy that, but Steve, on the other hand, you son of a bitch, I'm in.
Yeah. A reference? Why, yes, please. I will make my own character suffer for a reference. Hell yes. Cut to not nighttime. Because you're all on time limit here in the city of Narhasar. Because as a reminder, you guys have already been out and about earlier today. You have gone on some, not to continue the references, but some Avatar the Last Airbender adventures out with Prince Zuko to change your perspective and grow as individuals. And that's kind of what your morning has been. But also, obviously, you're here for a heist.
Mm-hmm.
A heist.
Because there's two places that the Far Eye hasn't been able to break into. And for this, I think I'm going to go ahead and hop into character. No frog jumping pun intended. In front of you all stands Far Eye Grumbingle. Despite his gray look, because everything in the city is kind of gray, he still exudes a colorful palette nonetheless as he pretends smokes like a twig or something. He says, I've been here for decades now, long decades. I've been across every corner of this God's forsaken city. Done everything that mortals can do and some things mortals shouldn't do. But two things all these years have eluded me. Breaking in to where that awful ritual is happening. The ritual that I now know nearly destroyed the world. And also break into that jerk Celestia Dreamweaver's bedroom. Today, we check one of those things off that list.
And it's not the one you're thinking about.
I like how the two choices are the area where the super high magic, all five of the Pentarchy are there. All this magic was called down. That's one area. Or...
yeah.
Hear me out on this one. Someone's bedroom.
I think one is way cooler than the other one.
One is way safer.
Well, and it's actually not the one you're thinking about.
In my experience,
I don't know.
Both might murder you. So, everyone? Golden tree.
Golden tree. Golden tree. Golden tree.
I had a great feeling about you guys. He flicks away his twig. This is okay, everybody. You guys are still under a bridge, by the way.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to meet back here tomorrow morning because I have a foolproof 52-point entrance plan that hits all the highlights, all the coolest stuff. We're going to go to the art room, so that we can deface some stuff. I mean, you can't. I can, and I will.
Fare, I'm so sorry to interrupt because I am here for a 52-point plan.
Yeah, I didn't even talk about the place where we find where the one guard hides the ice cream sandwiches.
Which would be great if we could eat them. But, true. We really can't stay overnight because each day we stay in the Deadlands, not just Narhasar, brings us closer to death. And we've already been here for two. I can feel myself dying. And our crew, who would be responsible for getting us out. Also, all of our food is just blobs.
As you're describing all of it, his mouth, which is already froggy and wide, is just getting flatter and wider by the moment. It's now wrapping around his head, essentially, because he's so off-put by your desire to keep living or whatever. Look, I'm like probably dead, and I'm having a mostly great time.
We're not trying to rain on your parade here. We're just saying maybe there's a few places we can optimize a bit.
I'd like to propose.
And Selv will mime putting his arm around the far eye, but not actually touch it.
Yep. And just inducing nausea for listeners who may or may not remember. Right.
Why put off till tomorrow what we could do today?
Well, Selv, he says, tapping your shoulder. I'm glad you asked. The ice cream sandwiches are really good. But if you insist. Okay. You all will have to extra help me with a few things.
Consider us your crew. You're the heist master.
All right. Everyone, excuse me. Crew.
Hey.
Let's all put our hands in. And he kind of like, he holds his hand with his palm facing up and kind of waggling his fingers.
Val does it without hesitation and then remembers consequences of what happened.
Crew, come on.
Selv, having just had the consequences, will put his hand far enough over the far eyes, but also waggle his fingers.
He slaps it. Crew. Yeah.
Both Checkers and Mango just like, throw their hands in. Let's do it.
Woo! My constitution's high enough. Hell yeah.
One, two, three, golden tree.
After 5 minutes of throwing up underneath this bridge, smash cut. You are outside of Celestia Dreamweaver's palace, citadel. It's not entirely clear, but her, probably the best word for it, is stronghold. And this is the first time you've seen it from afar, and I don't know how much I really described it. And if I described it differently than how I'm about to describe it, it's
magic.
No,
you didn't.
Yeah.
And it changed. So you all are standing. You have kind of found a building that is far enough away and sequestered so that you're not really at risk of any of the various spirits finding you, that sort of thing. Again, the Far Eye knows his way around this city. And in front of you is a very unique piece of architecture. There's obviously a running theme of five across the various Pentarchy buildings, and this one is no different. This one is stylized almost like a five-pointed star. At least the walls on the external are. All around it is a flowing moat, where the water is constantly going around in a circle despite seemingly no connection to the river that is running through the entire city. And you only see two bridges in towards this facility. There's a good amount of guards, there's a good amount of people around, but it looks, at least from this distance, lightly impenetrable. Guys, don't worry. It's very penetrable. Okay. So, I don't know how many points this plan is anymore. I'm going to be honest. we're just going to kind of wing it. It'll be fine. So first, We got to get up to the bridge there. That bridge that we're kind of closest to. And, you know, I kind of have my ways when it's just kind of one solo grungo. But with all of you guys, it's a little bit more complicated. Just follow me. Just follow me. And he jumps out of a window.
Nice.
Does a sick tactical roll.
Okay.
And Selv will follow him because I'll be fine.
Val finds the stairs.
Caspian, like, puts his, like, steps onto the window, like, primes himself to jump out, like he's about to jump out of a plane. He's like, ah, shoot. How far down did you say this was?
Yeah, it's like, it's the second story, so.
Caspian just, like, throws himself, duck and roll!
Several bystanders notice the crater that you caused, essentially, but all is well.
And I think Checkers and Mango are doing their best just to follow behind the Far Eye. Like, yeah, just hop right to it.
At least a couple of frogs know how to heist in style. Mm-hmm. So there's a guard right there. And there's one who is kind of vaguely close-ish to the bridge. He says, okay. So that is Ryan.
Ryan.
And he, in a way that I think if the Pentarchy had lasted like 3 more days, he would be executed for, he loves to chat. About really kind of everything. You just kind of go up and he's like ready to go. The issue is that he doesn't like chatting with Grung. And by Grung, I mean me. So if you guys, like one of you guys, could go up and just like talk to him for like 17 seconds. Literally, it's that easy.
Val looks to Cass.
Caskrin puts on his, like, his best, like...
I belong here outfit.
Yeah, right. It's like, I don't want you to know that I'm here to break in, but I'm here to break in. And then he puts in his, like, his best neutral face, his, like, most approachable look. And he's gonna kind of, like, strut up to this guard.
I'm starting a timer for 17 seconds.
Okay, fantastic.
As the rest of you, at about the 4-word mark, just start casually walking in.
And Casper's gonna like turn to the side, like, "Hello, good sir. Fancy seeing you here. What a fine day we're having."
Stop right there, sir. No civilians.
Oh,
here.
That's quite all right. I don't mean to. I'm here for you, actually. I mean, you look so charming and handsome in this in this light.
Oh, well, thank you. It's been 19 seconds. Everyone is across the bridge. Caskrin, how would you like to extricate yourself from this conversation?
What's that over there?
You're right. I don't belong here.
Yeah.
He looks. and a Caskrin-shaped cloud is left in its wake. Spoiler alert, we just recorded our April Fool's stuff last, so we might be all in cartoon mode. I'm not exactly sure. Okay, so you guys have made it on the other side. There's just a moment. Caskrin has now joined you. He says, all right, everybody. Are we going in wet? He gestures to the water. Or are we going in dry? And he gestures to the bridge.
Selv is going to take a quick look at the water. Are there any, let's call them spirit or ghost fish or other animals?
Give me a perception check.
I'd be happy to. Now, 2 levels of exhaustion.
Yep.
That's -4.
Okay.
That gives me a 19.
Wow.
Nice.
Rolled a 16, but +7.
There are some long tendrily bodies. Every once in a while, that just seemed to... It's hard to tell with kind of the grayscale of everything, but yeah, there's some somethings living there.
If we use the moat, there's things living in there that could make us uncomfortable.
Yeah?
I've thrown up quite a lot today. I would like to stop vomiting, if possible.
Well, first of all, you won't even get to experience the light tickle of acid water, I guess.
Oh, God.
All right. Fine. Plap, 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 plap. You find yourselves pressed up against the wall, 30 feet stretching above you. And now that you're actually close to it, almost nothing in this city has had any tint, hue to it, other than when Kashgren has had his see invisibility abilities. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you get it. But now that you're up close, you realize that these walls, while still ghostly in color, are actually a little red. He says, all right. So, this isn't my favorite way to do it, but we can push, and he kind of looks around a little bit, and he knocks on a couple of the big, huge stone blocks that are a part of this wall, and he just kind of knocks. He's like, this one. You have no idea. It didn't sound different whatsoever. Like, hey, yeah, it's this one. We can push this block into the ethereal plane and use it to propel ourselves out of the wall in like kind of an equal opposite reaction kind of thing and just like boom, zip across.
Eh? I feel like we just found like a glitch in a video game. Yeah. That is into the wall.
A billion percent what this is. To be extremely clear, this is a expert speedrunner who has like found all the strats.
We're in.
Are we able to, you know, stop before impact?
Does that change your answer?
It doesn't change Val's.
Great. Majority rules.
Okay,
so he kind of starts like kind of squaring up. He's like, I will need Kashgren and Selv. Both of you, get over here. So the Pentarchy, they really loved like over-engineering and over-arcaning all their stuff. It's if we got a rock here, we gotta shove a bunch of runes on it. Always. No matter what, always. They're gonna shove some magic into it. So parts of this castle technically are actually in different dimensions, which will come up again later. And if you're as cool as me and are willing to die upwards of 50 times, if you are sufficiently magically able to mold the earth in this very particular spot, this particular angle, you're actually kind of shunt the rock into an alternate dimension just for a second before it snaps back due to like magic physics or something. And then that's when the cool stuff happens.
So Kashgren is like, so we got this.
Yes, as long as you can be very specific on what we need to do.
And Kashgren's gonna like start shaping the earth in a way that like this brick like kind of moves around a little bit. It's kind of between dimensions and everything, but like there's a certain angle and certain depth at which you can push it into the wall if you give it enough force, enough oomph with some of the earth around it. And so, you know, Kashgren can't quite push this brick all the way in with his earth powers himself.
And it's not only that, it's you're pushing it in, and then Selv has to push it in a different, like, physically impossible direction.
Right, yeah.
And then the Farai has to push it a third, also physically impossible direction for it to have, again, glitch out reality,
right,
essentially.
And so we're like, we're holding it there, and it's like, Checkers, you gotta rub your face against this for like 12 seconds at this angle.
Checkers is like sprinting into the corner.
It
just
needs
like,
to be damper.
And then all of a sudden he just disappears.
And we just see him like fly across the wall.
So what happens is there's a moment you see going in a horrifically straight line at truly, again, cartoonish speeds. Checkers the Grung Druid is absolutely shunted forward again in a straight line towards a series of buildings in the middle of this compound, magically going through, by the way, a whole bunch of various trees, plants, even between guards and that kind of stuff. Just this perfect straight line. Just phew.
Val, you're up next.
All right. Val follows exactly what Checkers did.
Runs up against this wall for 12 seconds at this perfect angle and then shoot.
Mango, you next. And he just leans just really hard. Just, and then have you ever seen a video of like something going in where there's like a tight vacuum and it kind of just gets like sucked in? Mm-hmm. That's what happens to Mango. And it's a little bit more mass to be shunted, but shunted nonetheless it is. All right, guys, I don't think we can go one at a time. So.
Oh boy.
Three. Two.
And Selv just kind of like starts humming just to calm himself down.
Do, 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 do. Do, do, do.
Sorry, Steve, your whistle is too monotone.
Superman theme. Here we go.
One.
And again, you guys are all sucked in, and like, there's a moment where your 3D models are overlapping each other. Just for a moment. And the three of you are shooting forward, arm in arm. You guys see big tree after big tree, one after the other. And as you are somehow not slowing down even a little bit, you see a Checkers and a Val kind of standing, brushing themselves off near a wall of one of the buildings here. And you are able to shunt through just in time to see Mango absolutely plow into the both of them and squash them. Luckily, Mango also blocks your guys' arrival as well. And so it's only a little bit painful as you arrive. Okay. I think that one was the best run of that I've had.
Usually it doesn't work first try.
Sometimes I get stuck in the wall.
Oh, no.
And so the crew already paying off. I think nothing but optimism for the remainder of this journey. Great job, everybody. Well done. Well done. Now it's going to get a lot weirder, though.
Weirder than that.
For sure. Like, that's just like physics or whatever. Follow me. Farai starts sneaking around some of the corners. Peering around corners. Tactical rolling.
Are there any like guards and such around here?
At this point, no.
Huh. Okay. He's just doing this and we're just like walking through. Walking behind him.
One never knows, but...
Well, I imagine we start off doing what he does he's like, oh, there's got to be like a guard around there, which is why he's doing this. And then we go around and there's like nobody. And we do it like again, there's nobody. And we're just like, you know what? This is weird.
This is exhausting.
Yeah.
Okay. He stops rolling perfectly in front of a door. All right. Everyone, eyes, focus.
Focused.
I need your energy. I need you to throw yourselves into a couple of lightly deadly situations.
That's my favorite.
And then we'll be home free.
All I'm right. in.
Go. And he opens the door and like starts trying to shoo you all in like a parachute instructor, trying to push you through. But unfortunately, his hand just keeps passing through whoever is next to him over and over. I'm sorry. Sorry. Go. Just go. Go.
It's probably all right, come Val. On. She's sorry. Just vomiting.
Sorry. That one was on accident. Sorry. I got carried away. Okay. Here you find a long hallway. The dimensions of this place all don't make sense already. Because there's... Why would there be a hallway here? No building is built like this. And it, but just immediately something kind of registers in your brain. Something is off here. Mm-hmm. This is okay. So this is going to change some things as to how we approach it, depending on how this goes. Okay, so under literally... every doorway, and he gestures. It's just kind of an open archway, breaking up two segments of this hallway. You haven't seen any other doors yet. You've been walking for a hot second. It's just a long hallway. So under like all these and doors and whatever, there are our runes, and actually there's a lot of runes, and they do a bunch of different stuff. The main one that's a problem is the one that explodes.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't been able to get close enough to them. I've tried like a lot of ways to get close to them. I'm wondering if you guys, can you, like, I don't know, like, do something?
I can dispel magic, but if there's hundreds of them, I can't do it the whole time.
Is there anything that you could do with the runes themselves? Like, can you interpret them or, like...
I can read anything.
Yeah, that's true.
I was like, does that help at all here?
I could take a look at the runes, see what they say. Is there a
how close do you get?
I feel like be able to
inch forward,
like read the rune to see like where it would set off.
Maybe the Chosen of Celestia Dreamweaver would be able to turn them off, like with the elevator thingy.
That's a good point.
You could try it.
He's chosen for a reason.
And Checkers is going to walk forward towards the door with all these protective runes and just shout out, Celestia Dreamweaver, your chosen has arrived. Grant me passage to your sacred chambers.
Is there like any of those like control towers? Like the elevator? Like, do we see anything like that?
No, there is no control things, whatever. You just can see etched out at the top of this, again, some very small little runes carved out. And Checkers, you start approaching. Mm-hmm. And it makes sense to me that Val would be like a, you know, couple feet behind, mm-hmm. so that you could, he's kind of the one who finds the mines.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For you, essentially.
Yep.
And you're like, cool, I guess that step is safe enough. So as the both of you approach, you try to focus on the runes that you can see. And it's a little bit hard to do because the far eye in the background is going,
he's just bracing himself for when it happens.
Having to watch you guys explode, essentially, and deal with the meat chunks of the living. And you get close enough, Al, where you can read that there are a bunch of different runes that all do a bunch of different things. Mm-hmm. The main kind of immediate takeaways is, boy, there sure is an explosive rune on here, and boy, you don't want to walk underneath it, let alone walk underneath it several times. You also see that there seems to be some sort of, there is a rune that is actively monitoring to see if certain people go through. Mm. Specifically, if they've been approved people walking through, that sort of deal. And as Checkers continues forward, it occurs to you that you guys have just entered the blast range.
Nice.
Of the doors.
Checkers, no!
All of them go off. Yeah.
Show the badge. Show the badge.
Do you say anything?
Yeah, I tell Checkers to stop. Checkers, no! Too far! Come back! Has the approved rune, like, changed at all? Like, from green to red as Checkers?
No, this is great. I feel the blessing of Celestia Dreamweaver upon me. She's here with us, I promise.
So there's no indication that anything changes on the runes. But also, there's no indication of a giant explosion as Checkers approaches this door.
Oh. Okay. All right. Checkers, like, two more steps.
Checkers has been walking the whole time.
Now, like, jump around and, like, do a little dance really quick. Good moves. Good moves. All right. Great news. I think you all are too alive to become dead.
Yay?
I think the runes are all looking for, like,
incorporeal.
Yeah,
we're
like, it's in kind of an ethereal state. And so it's only active kind of in an ethereal kind of way.
Is this more of that physics and reality?
Exactly.
Not being the same?
And so I think you guys are clear.
Well, what about you?
Well, yes. If you could help, please.
Could it be because Checkers is the chosen, so we should stay within a few feet of Checkers just to make sure?
Val just kind of like says fuck it to herself and runs through the archway, like, eyes closed. Yeah. Until she like bumps into Checkers.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Good. Self.
Or that.
Self, if it makes you feel any better, I choose you.
Oh, thanks.
So go run under those runes with my blessing, which offers no mechanical benefits whatsoever.
Okay, here I go.
And
yeah, nothing happens.
Casper makes his way through. He's a little wary, but like after seeing Val and Selv go through, it's like, yeah, okay. And I was trying to look and see, like, are there any other different runes on this end that are like an off button?
There wouldn't be an off button here, but you definitely get the impression that, again, these can be interacted with.
Yeah.
And the far eye says, Val, you said you can dispel, right?
Yeah.
So if you can dispel that and then like two more. Yeah, that'll be our best route, actually.
Okay, so Val is like, yeah, I can definitely do that. So that one, and Val like points with her finger to an archway and this little like moat that's like kind of like crystalline in shape and light blue shoots out of her finger gun and goes to dispel the archway that the Far Eye says, and she will do that two more times to get the three the Far Eye has told her to dispel.
Is Val the hacker?
Yeah. The camera feed just goes down. Ocean's 11, I did think Val was, I forgot his name. The computer hacker, though, of like breaking into all the cameras.
Don Cheadle in that one?
Yeah. Hell but yeah. He's nice. The explosive expert.
Oh, okay. Never mind.
That's Checkers.
Yeah. I thought Checkers was the acrobat.
Oh,
who
yeah.
Like, who would just like, fold in on
guys,
himself.
Good news. We don't have 11 people. Yeah. You can be all of you. Can each of you be two and a third different role.
Some people are going to have to do double duty.
Yep. Yep.
Also, it would be Etrus.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, good point.
And now, a word from our sponsor.
Hey everyone, Jonathan here with the midroll. If you're looking for the hottest frog memes around, join the Reckless Attack community on Discord. You can find a link to it in the show notes of our latest episodes or on our website, recklessattack.com. Want to support the show? Tell a friend or check out our Patreon at patreon.com/recklessattack, where you can get access to our behind-the-screen talkback show as well as our new Reckless of Snacks series, where we eat snacks, hang out, and just talk about whatever's on our mind. Thanks so much for listening to us, and we hope you enjoy the rest of the episode.
Okay, you guys have made it through, and finally at the end of a string of hallways is... This is one of those ideas that I wrote down. I was like, yeah, that'll be good. And now I'm about to say it. And I'm like, this might be too dumb. Inside this room is a single narrow walkway in the middle of a room. On either side of this walkway are large pits with spikes at the bottom of them.
Cool.
And going throughout, oscillating in all different directions, coming from the walls in strange angles that are ever changing, are a series of beams going all different directions.
Like laser beams?
Sorry, this is a fantasy game.
Magic
light beams?
I have no context for what you mean. And Farai says, yep. Just as I remembered. I'm going to be honest. I don't know that all of you can make it through here. So, I guess, and he starts kind of stretching a little bit. Oh, no. I guess it's time for me to show off my cool moves. Getting through this very dangerous room that I've never died in. Not once.
But how will you do it, Farai?
We'll find a different way.
It's too dangerous, Farai. You can't go.
It seems impossible.
Don't sacrifice yourself for us.
He was crouching down, about ready to spring into action. And then he turns around, and you can see a little ethereal tear welling up in his eye. And he says, guys, this is the best crew I've ever been on. And then he backflips and does the full, like, sprawling, pinballing all over the room, cartwheeling in midair, doing impossible twists that seem to defy the laws of physics, and then lands in a perfect gymnast landing, arms up. No judge, not even the Russians would dare give him anything less than a 10 for this acrobatic display. And then he hits a little button on the other side, and all the lasers turn off.
Woo!
I can't believe it.
I'm still going to fall off this thing.
Checkers, you definitely lost your spot as the acrobat of our crew.
Dang, all right, that's fine. Can I be the hacker then?
I'm the hacker. You got to find your own role. Val does take tremendous care in walking over the speed.
Yeah, it's wide enough, but kind of one of those, speaking as someone who is afraid of heights, is definitely one of those where it's like, I'm going to be the most in the middle of this that I possibly be, and just like, I'm going to kind of make myself very small and keep my arms very close, and I'm not going to look down, because what if suddenly I just stumble 4 feet off in a direction and die?
Yeah.
Once you guys have crossed, the Far Eye looks at you all seriously, and he's like, all right, so this really was kind of the fastest way to get to the bedroom. But so on the other side of this door, this is something that I will need your guys' help on. There's a creature on the other side, and I don't like it, and I want you to ideally kill it.
I think we can handle that
quickly but brutally. Like, make it suffer, but we do need to keep moving.
What kind of creature?
And he shivers. I don't, I think it's just best if you see.
Oh, I would have.
Anyway, good luck! He opens the door and hides behind the door.
Is it just a mirror?
You see a stairway that leads upwards. At the top of the stairway is a door. That's the room.
I don't see a creature in here.
Oh, you will. Who steps through first?
100% checkers. All the way.
I looked directly at Jonathan.
Yeah.
I don't know that I meant to, but it was correct. Uh-huh. When you step through, you hear a snarling sound from over to your right. There, in a corner, in a large stuffed bed, is a very fluffy jaguar.
A fluffy jaguar?
All around it are decapitated, disemboweled stuffed animals, and a very large bowl filled with meat that you couldn't begin to guess the source of. And it's staring directly at you.
Good kitty. Good kitty. Nice kitty. Don't mind us.
Its tail swishes. Its ears flick forward straight at you. Its eyes narrow. Something primal in you says something needs to happen because this is escalating.
If not friend, why friend change?
Yeah, right. And Checkers is like backing his way up the stairs, being very careful not to turn his back to this creature. Just like, stay low to the ground, everyone. Nice and quiet. And as Checkers is sort of backing away from this creature, just slowly, one step at a time up the stairs, he's going to reach into his backpack, pull out something that we haven't used in quite some time. He's going to reach in and pull out the stick of intimidation.
Which I recall is a stick with a little frog at the
end. It's a little frog carved near the end.
Did you get this in like episode 5?
Yeah.
Yes, you did.
And once per day, I can waggle the stick in front of another creature that I've known for less than 30 minutes in a display of dominance.
Yes, indeed.
So I'm going to try and intimidate this creature to stay where it is. Just do my best, hey, I'm bigger than you. You don't want to mess with me.
Puff out and wave your arms.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Puff out his, his neck bulges.
Can I help at all?
You should get Mango to go behind you and make it look like a bigger frog.
So does it have any additional effect?
It gives me advantage on intimidation checks, but I would like to use animal handling if that's all right.
Yeah, I think that totally makes sense.
Okay. So that's going to be a 25 to animal handling to try and keep this fluffy jaguar where it is.
Checkers, you have waggled.
Yes.
You have danced.
Uh-huh.
You have, I don't know, engorged your throat or whatever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you could tell the hackles are starting to raise just that little bit. Maybe the claws are starting to come out of the paws. Muscles are starting to tense. And then it jumps up, and then its back goes really high, and then it's like...
Hurry, hurry, I've got it on the ropes. And Checkers is like continuing to just wiggle his stick around and like move his arms and legs in a threatening fashion. Just, come on, come on, come on.
Castro's going to try and imitate Checkers because like doing the big arms is clearly working.
Right.
It kind of swats at Castro just to like keep him away.
And then he's like, hey, hey. No, you got to do this. And he like breathes out. And breathes this big ribbit bulge. Yeah.
Castro holds his breath and puffs out his cheeks.
Yes.
Val, you would actually recognize this cat now that you've seen it. This is Victor.
Victor?
Mm-hmm. Of legend. Celestia Dreamweaver's very large pet attack cat.
Oh. Have you seen this cat in a vision before?
No, I don't think so. This is it's one of those just like weird life details where like it is like a familiar plus. It is kind of like a mango equivalent of Celestia Dreamweaver.
Is the cat also ghost-like? And
yes, yes, good clarification.
You know the famous cat, Victor.
The Victor, yeah.
Well, because you all know, to the Victor go the spoils.
Yeah.
Val starts running and then turns back to make sure the Farai is following.
The Farai has not followed.
Farai, come on, we can get past. Let's go.
Puff up those cheeks. Come on.
Yeah, we need our crew leader.
I don't like the emotional manipulation inherent in that.
Peer pressure.
But it is working.
I'll stand in front of you.
Okay. Ah! Pop, 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 pop. And now the six of you are at the top of the stairs. All right, quick. All right, we don't want this cat doing anything. All right, everyone, look at me in just a second. Something's going to happen. I'm not exactly sure what it's going to look like for you guys, but something's going to happen. You need to watch out for a key. If you see it, grab it. And also watch out for ghosts. Don't grab those or let them grab you. Are you ready?
Got it.
One, two, three. He casts a spell on all of you. It's a little bit not rule as is written. He has cast Blink on all of you.
Cool.
I would like everyone to roll me a d20. And let me know if you get an 11 or above.
Selv with 13, so.
Let's go with a 15.
Checkers is not.
Kaskrin and Selv, you are blinked into the plane of existence.
Nice.
The other two of you are still standing next to the far eye.
Yeah, just waiting for this key to show up.
And the only thing that has happened is that Kaskrin and Selv are gone.
Okay.
Kaskrin, out of the corner of your eye, not only at the top of the stairs, but actually a little bit into a room beyond, you can see a pale outline of a key. Self, you don't see the ghost. Kaskrin, this is what you see and hear. Actually,
do I hear the ghost?
You hear the ghost. You actually don't see anything. You just hear a horrible sound.
Oh, no.
Something hits you, Self.
Self, dodge!
For 12 points of damage.
How far away is that key? You said it was like through the room and then like a little bit?
Yep.
Okay. Is there a straight shot for me to get this key?
Yeah, it seems like it's like the door isn't even there.
Okay.
At this point. And you can't even say if it's the same room, the same stairs. Doesn't matter. Key's there.
Yeah. Casper doesn't even have time to like look back at Self. He just hears like the scream, the yell, and then like the reaction from Self. But he's like diving forward at this key already with both hands trying to grab it. Is he able to grab the key?
Everyone roll me a d20.
14.
19.
15.
19.
All four of you, change what plane you are in.
Cool.
Kaskrin, you are right there, and you are shunted back to immediately where you just were standing.
Okay.
You have not moved, at least in this dimension.
Okay.
I don't know. But both of you are back and unbothered, seemingly, by ghosts. Val,
mm-hmm.
Just a few feet away, you see a key.
I go for it immediately.
And
I
you also
told to get a key.
Hear a horrible sound. And Checkers,
yeah,
you might feel a horrible thing.
Cool.
You take 12 points of damage. Yeah. All right, Val, you go
save
running
yourselves.
Up. Are about to grab the key.
I grab it. I don't hesitate to grab the key. Consequences be damned.
Everyone, give me a d20 roll.
15.
Checkers with a 7.
Castron with 8.
Selv with a 9.
Val, you are in the ethereal plane.
Okay.
Castron,
yep.
You remain in the ethereal plane.
Okay, all right.
Both of you are holding onto a key together.
Nice.
Selv and Checkers
are
now in the regular plane.
Nice.
I would like one more roll just from Castron and Val, really quick.
A 6.
A 5.
Both of you shunt back to the original the original plane, and in the span of 30 seconds have jumped across a bunch of different dimensions. And as soon as everyone is back and there is very obviously a key being held by both of you, Farah says, okay! And
I think I'm going to hurl.
All right, take the key, put it in the lock, put it in the lock, put it in the lock.
And Castron's going to like push himself off. I imagine like Castron fell and then Val fell on top of him, just like trying to get this key. He like pushes you off and like tries to put this key in the doorway.
As soon as the key enters the lock, you all are on the other side of the door. There's no opening. There's no closing. You are just maybe still in a pile, maybe still waggling sticks in the direction of a cat, but you're inside now. You're inside Celestia Dreamweaver's bedroom. And frankly, it's not very big. Inside is a pretty Spartan scene. There is 3 rooms. This main sitting area, what appears to be a library / office, and off in the far back, a bed. It is a little bit hard to tell, but it seems like the walls are covered with frescoes of things. And all the furniture, simple, wooden, well done, but nothing ornate. And in the middle of this sitting room, you can see a small pottery wheel that still has what appears to be a lump of clay on it. And all around the walls of this room, on just a single shelf, kind of near the ceiling, are rows and rows of pottery.
Wait, this is it? I've been trying to break into here for 40 years, and this is it.
Well, let's look around.
Yeah, look around. Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, look around. I'm gonna be.
Try out the bed.
Yeah, I'll try out the bed. And he draws a knife.
I think Val will start to walk around and look around in almost, not quite like reverence, but in a way where, maybe reverence is the right word, but like knowing that so much was planned here, like she is treating this almost like a sacred space. Mm-hmm. And is not going to start like rummaging through stuff, but like will start exploring the room.
Checkers is going to start rummaging through stuff. Taking none of that care, but just like putting his little hands on everything.
Castron knows like he's not going to get much from the books. Like that's much more Val's dimension. Yeah, that's much more Val's thing. But he's going to take a look at like the pottery and the knickknacks and stuff. And Castron doesn't feel quite as much like reverence, but it's, you know, this is like someone's private inner sanctum. You know, it deserves at least a little bit of respect. So it's not going to just like start trashing the place. But obviously we're on a time limit here and we're here for a reason. So there's only so much care you can give.
I, Sophie, am curious if there's a desk with Dewey in here. Mm-hmm.
Selv is going to look around for runes. assuming that anything that, you know, is worth protecting would be behind one of those. And, you know, as we've seen, you know, Pentarchy likes their runes.
Everyone give me a perception check.
With the minus four, that's a 20 for checkers.
Ooh. Nice. Wow. Casper only has a 12 with a minus four.
Bao with an 11.
Self with a 15.
Everyone's looking around, and it is truly seems to be a simple living space. Comfortable, but practical. And it's almost like you're just kind of idly looking at someone's childhood bedroom in a way. Just noticing small, strange details. Noticing frescoes that outline symbols of the Pentarchy, the five virtues that led many of its citizens. You actually see one of the frescoes, one of the small ones, is actually of Agmar from above. You see pastoral scenes up on the wall that aren't local, aren't from around, aren't from here, but certainly seem to be comforting. Val, you certainly see a desk of doing here. It is unquestionable. It is, there's something about it that is unmistakable. And it is filled with pages and pages of things. And among the sounds of a grung defacing property with a knife.
Not checkers.
Yeah.
Two not grungs.
Checkers.
Yes.
You find it. I'd be curious as to why you, Jonathan, think this catches Checker's eyes.
Uh-huh.
But there's a pile of papers, and maybe you were looking at them to be nosy. Maybe uh-huh. you were looking at them to shred them.
Uh-huh.
Maybe you're interested because they were drawings.
Uh-huh.
And it takes you a second, and you realize these are blueprints for Agmar. It outlines the palace. It outlines all the walls. If you flipped through, you would see all the buildings in the city that you have been to are there, rendered in perfect detail. And sitting next to it, leaned up in the corner, is a strange staff, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
It is a single pole going up into a kind of X shape at the top, sitting on top of it, almost like a like helicopter blades, if that makes sense. And dangling from them are several strings that have ornate gemstones hanging down. This may or may not be what Celestia sent you for, but it's certainly what this heist was for.
Okay.
You can feel power from this thing. And as you look at it and call the others over,
yeah.
you realize it's in color.
Huh.
Maybe it was when you came in. Maybe it was as you were looking at it. Maybe it's, I don't know, but it's real. So everyone else is called over.
Yeah. All right. Check this out. Is this what we're looking for?
I would say... Are any of you have any expertise in carpenter tools or that sort of thing? Just for fun, backstory flavor.
Cartographer, not carpenter.
Kaskrin has the stone masonry thing, but like, oh, that, so like he might have some adjacent knowledge.
Absolutely. That Kaskrin, you know what this is.
Oh, nice. Hell yeah.
So this is an instrument called a groma, which is a real life thing. It's an ancient thing, but... These gemstones are actually like plumb lines.
Plum. Okay, yeah.
Kind of an ancient way of measurement and that sort of thing.
Oh,
for
cool.
Construction
yeah, yeah.
projects.
Nice.
And in typical Pentarchy fashion, it is all ornate and carved and beautiful and dangly and shiny and real and magical as
what is it, guys? Found a cool stick.
Are you holding on to it?
Oh, yeah. Wiggling around.
Hey, Checkers, would you put that down for just a second?
All right.
Well, so, good news. That's for sure it. The Farai looks down at his clock again, that his sundial wristwatch, and he's like, okay, so you all want to get out of here before sunfall.
Preferably.
That yes. makes sense. Again, good news. That's definitely it. Big magic shiny stick. Literally couldn't have gone better. Other news. It's definitely what is making all of Narhasar kind of continue. So when you take it, Narhasar will probably be gone.
Oh.
And I feel fine about that.
I could throw a Hail 12 of... Wouldn't that be sure, the equivalent, yep, right? Yeah.
It is now. It is now. Okay.
That is absolutely what it is.
Yeah. Instead of that, maybe I could try to cast Banishment on you to see if you would go to a different plane.
Ooh.
I don't know what would happen with that.
I do.
Okay.
Because I've done it to myself.
Fair. I figured you tried everything.
So, I think I'd like you guys to leave now.
Mm-hmm.
Sunfall sucks. And it would be kind of nice to have a day without it. Well, without it and or having brutally died.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So, he kind of like rocks back and forth on his feet. I think what I'd like to do is go out absolutely fucking up Celestia Dreamweaver's bedroom some more.
That sounds like a plan.
Well, Farai, it has been an amazing time. Thank you so much for showing us around the city, for helping us fight your jailers, for bringing Valeska back. I know this isn't quite what you had signed up for when you tried to fight the Pentarchy, but I think we're close to the end of that fight, if we have anything to say about it.
Smiles. Says, well, I was already feeling pretty good about the last couple days. Any new anything here was very welcome. And I'd say this was about the best possible new stuff that could have happened. So, I don't know, I guess thanks for rescuing me. Thanks for letting me enact 40 years worth of vengeance on these throw pillows. And, yeah, thanks for giving me one last new thing after a long time. It meant a lot to meet a new generation of guilders. And he's kind of doing that thing where he's looking at everyone but Checkers.
Checkers is bawling in the corner. Yeah. He has not stopped crying.
As much as I want to keep helping, you know, my time's over. It's really been over for a while. And wherever I go next, know I will be cheering on my heist crew from there. All right, everyone. I have a lot of defacing to do. You have a lot of not being here and saving the world to do. So, yeah, just go down those stairs. Kick the cat. Three lefts. Just get out as fast as you can. Thanks.
Thank you, crew leader.
You're the best crew leader I've ever had.
Selv is just going to bow to him before we actually leave.
You guys all start going down the stairs, and in the background, the far eye catches you for a moment, Checkers. And very briefly, just whispers something to you. Then he nods. And the last thing that anyone sees of the far eye is him walking straight up the wall to a row of pottery and tipping them over one by one
like an angry cat.
And you hear the tinkle of pottery crashing behind you. It is as the far eye said, somehow, this way out involves no amount of death lasers. And you are able to get to a spot, signal to your crew. And despite the protests and ethereal eldritch blasting, essentially, of guards, are able to leave the city. And over the roars of Captain Livingstone suggesting a variety of different colors of people's livers as they try to get out of here. Instead of the scene you witnessed the day before of destruction and mayhem, there's a gentle fading away as the Sky Stalker rises and leaves with only an empty crater behind. You have a ways to travel to get out of the Deadlands. And as soon as you do, you start to feel a little better. You still need a little rest. And Checkers, you have in your possession an object of focus. But one final note before we end our session. Checkers, your hat has been without a certain weight for a little while now. And you've been trying, we've said on and off screen, to resummon your frog pal Junior. And it hasn't worked. It's as if something was pulling him back, keeping him away from you. And just an hour or so outside of the Deadlands, a huge crack hits the deck of the Sky Stalker. And it lands right next to you. And above you, you see a impossibly high up against the sun, are just able to make out the silhouette of a flying creature. And at your feet is a stone. And it is covered in runes. Before you even move to pick it up, a voice rings out from it. And it says,
hello, Golden Tree Guild. It has been a little while since we've last spoken, but I would appreciate the opportunity to do so before what is to come. If you are amenable, you have free passage, guarantee of safety, and, might I add, I would be happy to reunite you with your friend.
And you and anyone else on the crew, on the deck, can hear an unmistakable small croak of Junior the Frog.
Let me know, and I will relay where you can meet. Hope to talk soon.
And that is where we'll end this week's episode.
Nathan, why would you do this?
Goodbye, everyone.
Goodbye.
good news. That's for sure it. Whatever it is. I don't know. Shiny. Good. Therefore, cool stick. Great. Gotta be the most magical, probably, object of focus.
Yeah.
Let's just hope it doesn't turn into an object of fuckus.
The far eye looks at you and claps over and then just touches you really hard.
I just jump just like out of the way.